The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Boker Tov, good morning, Rolien. How are you?
Boker Tov, I mean, you know I am an expert on soccer.
So would you have known the answer to that?
Not a clue.
All right.
I have to figure out which one is soccer, okay?
Okay, let's talk lots of COVID-19 updates. Let's talk the vaccines first. Where's that standing?
Well, Israel yesterday started our rollout, and if you are anybody trying to get an appointment with the Kupat Cholim and you are over 60, they are booking up fast. But Saturday night, we all watched as Prime Minister Netanyahu, looking slightly nervous, was the first Israeli to receive his jab. He said, you know, one small injection for a man, one giant leap for all of our health. I think he was trying to quote Neil Armstrong there. And he was followed by Yuli Edelstein, the health minister, which I found very interesting because the president only got his vaccine yesterday. Ruvi Rivlin, calmly, very logically appealing to everybody to please get vaccinated, saying that this is your responsibility to your fellow man, to your fellow citizen. Well, we also had the Ramatkal, Viv Kochavi, the head of the army or the chief of staff of the army. He received his jab, and health workers across the country yesterday started to receive there. So we have begun our rollout. We've also had an endorsement from one of the chief rabbis, the Ashkenazi chief rabbi, Rabbi Lau. He has appealed to everybody saying it's important for your fellow man to be vaccinated. I would say our Sephardi chief rabbi said the same thing, but he is in Dubai on a groundbreaking meeting with various people there, which is also very, very positive news indeed. But it hasn't been without controversy because the numbers are still climbing. We are thinking that there may be some people who are thinking that now that the vaccine is here, they don't have to be responsible. However, we still have to maintain masks, social distancing, hand washing, everything the wise doctors tell us to do until this vaccine is rolled out. And the numbers are up. And yesterday, our coronavirus cabinet met without any firm decisions, but the Prime Minister is trying to push for a third lockdown. This might not be well received by members of the business core, but you know, this is the balancing act that government has to do. Also, very, very controversially yesterday, because we've heard about this new strain of coronavirus, this new mutant strain that is has been found in places like the UK, some in South Africa, some in Denmark. A very, very controversial decision was taken yesterday to close the skies to any incoming travelers from those three countries, and anyone coming in from the UK, South Africa, or Denmark will be sent to quarantine hotels with immediate effect. I know that it affects some people in the community there in South Africa who may be wanting to travel to Israel within the next couple of days. However, we have had some travelers from the UK who are refusing to go into the quarantine hotel, saying that this was a last minute decision. They didn't know about it enough ahead of time, and they are refusing to do that. I know that many other countries as well, the Netherlands, Belgium, several others, Italy, have closed their skies to travelers from the UK as well. And also, very interestingly, yesterday Facebook announcing that they will be deleting any anti-vax posts they say is in danger of spreading false info. So a lot of drama. I don't know, is this virus ever going to be without its drama? But fresh this morning, we have a lot of drama surrounding COVID-19, the rising numbers here, and where do we progress from here?
Rolien, the closing of the skies to South Africa, Denmark, and the UK, is that specific to the second strain, which seems to have stemmed from Spain, or is it really countries where it's the the coronavirus is just running rampant and is completely out of control?
It is the second strain. We have heard from health officials that it is the second mutant strain, which apparently is more contagious than the first strain of corona. In fact, on Saturday night, Motsay Shabbat, when doctors were about to inoculate the Prime Minister and the Health Minister, they said that they are concerned about this new mutant strain. And yesterday they confirmed that they had found several examples in the three countries, which is why we've closed our skies and will possibly be closing our skies to more countries where this is found or where the numbers are getting out of control.
Yeah. It's interesting. And then, you know, then there's the anti-vaxxer movement. And bearing in mind that up to 40% of the Israeli population don't want to have the vaccination. And I saw an article
this
morning
that the
anti-vaxxers have said that Benjamin Netanyahu had a placebo. Like, whatever, you can just, it's, you know, just make it up. You know, it's actually incredible.
I'm not going to give into conspiracy theories, but we've heard from the Prime Minister's doctor, who I think is probably a better source than Facebook Medical School. But we have heard from the doctor that the Prime Minister did receive the Pfizer vaccine. In fact, that's why he did it specifically on TV. It wasn't a placebo. You know, we're not messing around here. This is people's health, and this is part of a big push by our authorities to try and get people vaccinated. I mean, we're not so impressed that some ministers under the age of 60 try to jump the line to get their vaccines. It's also a little bit of a problem, but we have it on good authority from the doctors of the Prime Minister, of the Health Minister, of the various officials who have been vaccinated, that no, they did not receive the placebo, and weird things are not going to happen to you. Nothing weird has happened to anybody who has received the vaccine. In fact, the personal doctor to the Prime Minister is under law to report on his health. I mean, we know a little bit too much about our Prime Minister's health, but he has reported that the Prime Minister is in good health. There have been no side effects, and he is now officially the first Israeli to get his life back to normal.
All right, Rolene, let's leave coronavirus and politics aside,
and let's move to leave coronavirus.
And let's move on to just the most wonderful, wonderful story about El Al. The Kiryat Gat, that's the name of the plane, is heading off to Morocco on the inaugural flight. Is that correct? I thought that El Al already flew to Morocco.
No, this will be the first ever official flight by an Israeli airline, by an Israeli air carrier, in this case, the national air carrier, El Al. And it's very, very significant that we use the plane called Kiryat Gat. You know, all our planes have names. In fact, I think the one that flies to South Africa, I could be wrong, but I think it is the Ranana, which is quite appropriate given that, you know, there are so many South Africans in Ranana. Sure. But this particular plane, the Kiryat Gat, made the inaugural flight to the Emirates. It made the inaugural flight to Bahrain. And what is interesting is the call sign, the flight number, is named for the dialing code. So I think it was LY921 or 971 to the UAE and 973 to Bahrain. You know, we're 972 if you're phoning Israel. And today, in fact, in about an hour or so, it will make its maiden voyage to Rabat. That's the capital of Morocco. There will be a delegation on board from the U.S., from Israel. And we're hoping that a lot of great things will come out of this meeting, a lot of memorandums of understanding or agreement, a lot of ways that the countries can mutually cooperate. We have already heard that there will be a mutual exchange of embassies, and one of the big areas of concentration will be these flights because of the amount of Israelis who have their roots in Morocco, the ties to Morocco. What is also quite fascinating is that Morocco is the first Arab country that will teach Jewish history and Jewish culture in its textbooks, in its schools, which is a massive, massive step forward and also a departure from the kind of education that we've seen in some of the schools, even though last week we discussed that Saudi Arabia, they have started to scrap any anti-Semitic incitement, any anti-Zionism from their educational material. And this makes an absolute world of difference. So, yeah, I think a lot of Israeli businesses are scrambling right now to get those business plans Moroccan savvy, because we have seen an extraordinary amount of work being done between Israel and the UAE. Yesterday, a delegation in Bahrain to start building the same frameworks that we have with cooperation with the UAE, business, tourism, cooperation across various fields, sports. Sports is a major area where there have been memorandums of understanding signed. And hopefully we will we'll see this with Morocco. It will be certainly a favored place for Israelis to visit, to explore. And Kath Nabuchle, all we can say is don't say we didn't warn you. The Israelis are coming.
Listen, they're coming and they're bringing their shopping bags. I cannot believe how many people I know are currently in the UAE and Dubai doing shopping.
Well, wow.
Just in November, 50,000 Israelis visited the UAE.
No, I love it. I love how they have embraced it and they've embraced one another. I think it's incredible.
Well, it's quite fascinating because if you see the interaction and the real piece is where you see everyday people interacting online or wherever, a beautiful video put out yesterday from two Emiratis who are in Israel at the moment saying, please don't go visit Israeli houses. You leave having put on a lot of weight. They said they've never met people like Israelis who are quite happy to give you their phone numbers, invite you to their homes. You know, they said that they've never encountered strangers who are just so willing to open their homes and have to have a picture with you. You know, this is very, very, very historical for us. I don't know if I think they understand, but maybe don't understand just how significant this is for this country, what it has done for the Israeli people. And this also comes at a time where we see increased anti-Semitism in places like Belgium, in France, and a lot of Israelis are saying, you know, we're nervous to go to countries where we don't feel safe, but we can go just a three-hour flight away. We feel welcome. It's good shopping. It's a culture very similar to ours, and we're enjoying it. But I tell you guys, I mean, you know that I think everyone should pay pilgrimage to the Sephora makeup counter. I don't think the Sephora makeup counter has seen so much money in their lives. They say, you know, the Israelis like to spend.
Well, not since you were last there, Rolene, anyway. Anyhow, can we just before we come up to news, do you think that Likud and Blue and White have averted another election?
We will know a little later today, but they did have discussions yesterday, which reportedly ended in an agreement where we could perhaps extend the budget deadline to the 31st of December. The budget deadline is the 23rd of December. And if you know Israeli law, if the budget is not agreed upon or voted in, the Knesset automatically dissolves and we go to elections. But I think everybody wants to try and avoid elections as much as possible. And we will know today when the bill is introduced to the Knesset to extend this deadline, whether or not it will be successful. If it's voted in, we have a slight reprieve. If it's not, then we dissolve on the 23rd and go to the polls yet again.
Well, I'm sure that we will get all of those details from you this afternoon. If not this afternoon, then tomorrow morning. So, Rolene Marks, I wish you a wonderful day, and we'll catch up with you later. Thank you so much.
Ladies, have a lovely one.
You too. Cheers.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.